go. Okay. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And let us begin with a practice. Carlota and Nikki, you can actually practice. I will let people in. Don't worry. Let us arrive. And let us notice our body. And just notice how you are arriving in your body. Because there is arrival and then there is arrival. Is there a rush? Is there an agenda? Just notice if you can arrive gently and compassionately in your body, relaxing and releasing any contractions or tension that might be there in your body. Relaxing and releasing. And allowing your breath to go deep into your belly. And allow your breath to be very patient and slow and kind. Imagine every breath is a friend that is arriving, cleansing, supporting. And nourishing your inner self, allowing your body to melt into your breath. And with all the challenging thoughts that we may have, and some of us do, see if you can still feel the deliciousness of being in this moment. So breathing, breathing consciously. Breathing while considering your breath as a supportive friend, as a cleansing experience. Allowing yourself to taste, smell, sense, feel. The richness, deliciousness of being alive, being in this moment, being here. Just being. And as we connect to the power of this moment and power of presence, we begin to feel the expansiveness and unlimitedness of being alive. All the things I can imagine, all the things I can do, all the things that I can create in my mind. Isn't that magical? And speaking of magic, let us all go to the magical land of imagination. You may imagine any version of yourself. I like the younger version of myself to be playing here. Hopping. Laughing. Playful. Funful. That little person, the free person, that doesn't have a lot of shoulds and musts and have to's and bad and good and up and down. The version that knew not the, no limitations whatsoever. Can you call that version of yourself? And if you tell me that I never was that person, that's okay too. Let's make it up. We're making up this experience. We're making up a version of ourselves that is feeling unlimited, is very playful, ready to play, ready to have fun, and can imagine anything and everything. So calling that part of you, and let us all go together like playmates. And let us enter the field and the arena of imagination. And in this land of imagination, there are unlimited toys to play with. There are many, many colors, seen, experienced colors, and unseen and not yet experienced colors. Here we are in the land of magic. Magic meaning experiencing that which we have never experienced before and creating it instantly. So just notice how wonderful that feels to be unlimited, playful and fun, hopping, laughing, playing, flying, floating, jumping, going to a place that our everyday life usually prevents us to go. Here we are a kid. Here we can go anywhere and imagine anything. Here we love, love being here. Here, we don't need to have anything. Life itself is a gift. We have no worries. We have no plans, no agendas, no regrets, no lamenting. Just playing and being and happily connecting with every other being that is present in this field. They are beings of all kinds, beings we've never met before from another world or worlds. They are colors, animals, shapes, constructs that are unfamiliar to us, but very, very pleasant to our eyes and other senses. There are homes that are floating in the air. There are constructs that are upside down. There are people who walk on the sky and face the earth. There are beings that are like jelly and only have colors, but they're laughing and they have big bellies and they are tickling each other. And we're just enjoying this game. And we're wondering, how can we have more fun? That's the only thing we are wondering about. How can I have more fun in this place of magical quality? How, when did I forget to have fun? Fun, fun, fun. Fun from knowing, not a light fun that we always put down. This is the fun that comes from connection to other beings and to the source and to self. This is the fun that comes from practice, that comes from knowing, that comes from depth, that comes from understanding life and the essence of life, comes with colors, comes with laughter, comes with creativity. Can you imagine this place? We've never been here, so don't look for memories. This is the first time we're visiting this land. There are many, many magical lands, but this one, oh, this one is different. This one is rich. We feel rich, not because we have, but because we are. Not because we own, but because we're free. Not because we look good or certain way, but because we know how to play. Wow, what a land. Didn't know this land existed until this moment. Why didn't I visit this place earlier? If you can't imagine, just watch other people's, other beings' imagination coming to the surface and materialize right in front of you. Watch their creation. Watch their imagination. Watch their fun. Can you see others having fun and playing and pushing and laughing? Oh my God. Where is this place? This is the Disneyland of the invisible world. And because it's in another realm of existence, it's unlimited. And there's no fee. It is free. You can visit this place anytime. You don't need to drive. You don't need to park. You don't need to buy a ticket. You just need to want to be here and feel the joy and the playfulness and the colors and the young energies that are quite old, but they are young in their lightness. I see my teachers playing like a kid. I hear their laughter, hear their messages. Come here, join us. You got it wrong, Mitra. It's not about things that you're putting pressure on yourself about. It is about being in the magic land and creating with no restrictions. That's what's all about. So I'm going to join your silence and allow you to do your own imagination without my voice that may be interrupting it. So happy playing and happy imagining. I'll hold the time and I keep the time and bring us all back soon. Gently, ever so gently. Pick whatever you want to bring with you from this magical land of imagination. Maybe some lightness, maybe some laughter, maybe some love. Grab it, hold it. See it, feel it, appreciate it, and let's gently walk together, hopping and laughing, light in our heart, peaceful in our minds, united, creative, and joyful. Let's gently walk right back in our bodies. Feeling your body on the surface that you're sitting on or lying down. And whenever you're ready, come to the room and join us and open your eyes. Hello. All women today. Good to see you, everyone. And if anybody celebrates today, happy Mother's Day. And just thought we'll be kids and see what happens today. All right. Some shares, questions, insights, something either about the practice today or about anything that you have got going in your life pertaining to our lessons. Let's see who's gonna speak first. I've been speaking for too long. Go, Minu.
Are you sure? Okay, I have a few fundamental questions, and then maybe this imagination world can help me a little bit more. First of all, happy Mother's Day to the mothers here, and I hope you enjoy your day. This, what a great day to start with a nice meditation and start our day that way. Okay, so when you say we go to the world of imagination, I imagine it as if I'm wearing a costume. So I'm wearing a costume with some whatever fantasy that I'd like to be. And then when I play, and I was very playful, whatever you said, I was very happily there doing all of that and being all of that. But then when you take that costume out, when time is out and they tell you, okay, game is over, the park is closing, I know it's not limited, But we have to come back, with the ring of your bell. Eventually, we have to come back to the reality and not that imagination. How did that imagination help me with my real world? That's one question. But on the other hand, on my on the practice we had, I was able to compare the two worlds together. That, however happy I was here, I said, how can I do this in my real life? And I was comparing the two of them, and I felt like, oh, I can, I am many times like this. Oh, I am many times. Oh, I can be many times like that. So I tried to compare the two of them. I don't know if if that's the answer to my question or not.
It is. You answered yourself. Thank you. That's exactly why we do it. And it's very interesting. So remember the two worlds, Yekibud and Yekinabud, the visible and invisible, right? So here is the question, Minu and everybody else. The question is my visible world dictating my invisible world? Meaning, is the events of life telling me how to feel and what to think? Because those are invisible. You can't find my feelings, you can't find my thoughts. Or the invisible world is informing my visible life. And these are the two ways that we can play with, because sometimes, of course, there is a need for bringing the questions and experiences of the visible world. We can't always live in La La Land and just imagine. But the problem is we are overdoing that. Almost everything I'm doing is based on what has already happened. That's why we're living the same life, even though we have moved to a new place, even though I've had surgery, even though I'm traveling, even though my children are now okay, it's still, I'm living with the memories of whatever life that I didn't like, usually, I had, the experiences I had. Am I saying completely forget about the past and pretend it never happened? No, I'm saying we've talked about this many times that the value of the past is to go and find anything that is useful and applicable for now. But then you gotta get out of there. You gotta get out of there. It's funny that when we were coming out of the imagination world, you brought the characteristics and the memories of the visible world. Get out of here. Park is closing. Get out is exactly what will happen. And like there's limitations. You laugh too much, get out of here. Now go and be serious and suffer. But my invitation to you is to take this to that world, meaning go through life. That's what I mean. How does it look like, Mitra? Do you know how many problems I have to face every day? I do, believe me. And I face it, and I face it with other people. But I'm saying that can I bring that lightness, that power of imagination that can bring creative solutions to this life? Not because I want to be separated from it, but because I want to be bringing from that unlimited bank into this visible world instead of taking from very limited bank that I have in the visible world into there. Does that make sense?
Thank you, thank you. But here's another question. So none of them can be 100%. So we can't be in the real world 100%, and we cannot be like that. So the more we can bring from the invisible world to this world and kind of balance it, it's
Yes.
the best. And then
Yes.
maybe is that true that in every imagination scene that we have, we go and imagine what we need. Right now, I need, for example, to be connected. So what I brought the limitless from there was that I can connect here limitless. Maybe tomorrow I will have, in the real world, I have something else, and I imagine how I can bring that to this world.
Exactly. And then sometimes, let me just address the first part of what you said. That's how creativity, that's how innovation, that's how anything that is new takes place, that we go to the imagination world. Anything, and you've heard me say that. Somebody, I mean, when we were growing up, there was no writing on the cups we held, but somebody one day thought, how about writing some messages? Somebody came up with that, right? Somebody came up with the Zoom idea. That's why you and I can sit in the comfort of our home from around the world and meet. So it is that visitation, as you called it, to the invisible world that brought all these inventions and discoveries and new things and all those exciting things that they have. So I'm saying if they can go there, I can go there. Okay, I don't want to invent something like Zoom, but I can invent the way I want to lead my life. So that's the balance of, but the question is, where is the inception? Where was this idea come from? Where was the origin of this idea? If the origin of my ideas and the way I show up in everyday life comes from painful past, nothing outwardly will make it good. You can take me to the most amazing places in the world, first class, and I'll be miserable. Why? Because my miserable past is informing my present amazing experience. If that is true, and we know that's true, that's why we have many outwardly rich people who are very poor inwardly, right? Okay. If that's correct, then the opposite can be correct too. If I am not so rich right now in my visible world, and by rich, I don't mean just money. You know what I mean? Rich meaning having what I want. Then I can actually bring that from invisible to my visible and feel the way I want to feel. So that's the idea of working between, we are floating between the Yeki Bud and Yeki Nabud, the visible and invisible of our life. But we have forgotten about the invisible. We keep repeating the same. That's what Groundhog's Day was all about, the movie, that I'm repeating the same thing. I think it's a new day, but I'm taking exactly the same energy, attitude, same past to today, even though I'm having lunch with you today, but having had dinner with, I don't know, Ellie last night. Still, I feel the same. It doesn't matter. Experiences are not really helpful for me because I'm still the same sad person that so many years ago, so many days ago, had that experience. That's one. The other thing I wanted to say, you said what I need to experience. So first, we address the needs that we have. I'm too particular, sorry, but I have to I know because everybody's smiling. And first, I address the needs that I have, right? So right now, I need to settle down. And then I get to a place that I go to what I desire. So my needs somehow feel fulfilled to me. And I go and think about what would I like to create right now? What would I
What do you
love?
mean, my needs? Sorry, I'm sorry.
Needs are like basic needs and needs, hierarchy of needs. Like I'm rattled.
The survivalist needs.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Yes. Those are the needs that those are needs. In attentionism and of course eternalism, we're creating for the sake of creating. You're saying, Mitra, how come you did this? I don't say, oh, because I didn't have anything like this and I was hungry and I was tired. That's why I did. You say, why did you do this? I say, I don't know. It's just like the best way to love someone is like that. Somebody says, I love you, and you say, why? They say, I don't know.
Because I love you.
Exactly. I just don't know. I love you because I love you. It wasn't because you bought me this and you did that and you cooked that and you brought me that gift and you like combed my hair. That's not why. Because, I mean, that helped, but I love you anyways. Best kind of love, not based on need, but based on desire to love.
Okay, thank you. One last question. I hope no one minds. So we were talking about the five ways of meditation, one of the five name. Imagination and visualization is the same then?
They are, but I want you to go be a very good question, by the way. That comes from precise practice, Minu. I just wanted to say that.
Thank
you for that question. So imagination is imagining anything. Visualization is one kind of imagination. It's when we only can see, because a huge part of our imagination is felt. I can't see anything, but I feel like floating doesn't have a necessarily a look, or loving doesn't have a look. I'm sitting there. How do I look when I love you? You know, but it's like, I don't know. I looked exactly the same like when I don't love you. But there are things that are beyond visualization, but they are part of imagination. Imagination meaning it is not available to me right now, but I'm experiencing it. Does that make sense?
So imagination is more powerful, but
yeah.
visualization is something that I know and I visualize and I want and I visualize. But imagination is something that I don't know. It's
Yes,
limitless.
and it's beyond
Visualization
visualizing.
is limited, but imagination is unlimited,
Exactly.
right? Can I
Exactly.
say that?
Exactly. Exactly. Visualization is one kind of imagination, and imagination is much vaster. Because I sit there and I feel electricity going through my body when you say this. And you know, lately, whatever I say that is real truth, I get that. So what is that? Did I imagine? Did I visualize? Did I visually see anything? No, I felt electricity through my body. So that's not visual, but it's felt. So yes, good question.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's see. Who's going to be next for sharing insights or asking questions or go ahead, Christian.
I really enjoyed that meditation, but also struggled with it. And then in thinking similarly, like thinking about how you described sort of bringing imagination into your life. Like I was trying to have fun and I was, but then I kept getting pulled back to like, oh, I need to do this, or I'm worried about this, or these are the things that, you know, my daughter needs to, or that I'm worried about with my daughter. And like one of the things I've been trying to like help create, like a, help her create a structure, because she really likes to avoid things. And so in my mind, it's been like, you know, do the things you don't want to do first, and then you get to do, you know, your relaxing or your knitting or your, you know. And so it's very much like a dichotomy of like, you know, do and then be, or not fun and fun. And so I've been struggling with like, okay, how is there a way to like reframe that so that she's less, more likely to do the things that she's intending, or I guess needs to do. Was just thinking about that to see if you had any suggestions, and then can still have this fear of, I know we talked a little bit about it, or a lot about it last time, but of like her being able to be successful in school because of some, because not being able to get extensions and not like, you know, plotting out and planning and doing the things she needs to do when she needs to do them. And so it becomes this, like, I'm kind of like hyper focused on that. And so it's like it, that fear like overwhelms my imagination because I'm like worried about that.
Well, I can answer this in so many ways, but allow me to be a little bit disciplined. So you're not treating her with a sense of balance, yet you are wanting her to have balance. Does that make sense? This overfocus, I use your own words, overfocus on your daughter is, and we do it with different things. It doesn't need to be our child. It could be our, I don't know, cleanliness. It could be being precise with things. It could be anything. But that over-focusing, immediate, anything that has the word over, it means I'm out of balance. So just think about, it's exactly like the famous example that I have, that I shout at you and say, be quiet and be peaceful. And you're thinking, Mitri's shouting and so unpeaceful. And she's asking me, do you think I'm going to listen to her? So you are showing her the opposite of how you want her to be. That's one, to just put it very generally. And the second thing is, when you, I see you doing it, I can just imagine why she's not doing it. I mean, watch anybody relinquish their responsibilities as you take them on. It's very simple. Like, you got to stop doing it for her to start doing it. It's a very simple formula. If I am holding this cup, there is no way you can also hold it. It's in my hands. If I want you to hold it, and if my desire is for you to hold it, I need to, at the very least, put this down, make it available for somebody else to pick it up. Would you definitely pick it up if I put it down? No, not necessarily. It's not 100% guaranteed. But if there is possibility, it will only happen when I put it down. You cannot treat her like a child and expect her to be an adult. It's just impossible. If you want to change anything in her, inwardly, I would say go to a place of trusting that she will know. Just notice I didn't say that she knows. She will know. If she needs to know, she will find a way, just like you and I found our way in many different arenas. Did we know? No. Did we find out? Yeah, a lot of things, not everything, but some things we found out. So a child that is being treated like a child will not be an adult. Very simple. If it happens, it's a magical thing. Sometimes children just revolutionize their relationship with life in spite of what we're doing, but that happens rarely. So my invitation to you is that if you want balance in your daughter's life, create balance in your life. If you want your daughter to be an adult and take responsibility, treat her like an adult, not like a child. Because if I'm leaving and you're telling me, Mitra, did you take this? Did you take that? Are you going to be cold? Did you take water? Are you doing this? Did you make sure? I feel like a child. And then, of course, if I haven't done my work, I act like a child because I know somebody else is taking care of it. So that's my invitation. Helpful?
Yeah, it's helpful. It's just, it's, I don't, the fear just still, like, I don't know what to do with the fear.
Replace it with trust. That's what you do with fear, that you trust that there are powers beyond you in life. You're not the only power in your daughter's life. I hope you're not. I really hope that no one that I love only depends on my powers, because they'll be in a very difficult place. I don't have much. So yeah, just trust. I don't know. It's that simple, that I trust. And when we get desperate, we do trust because we don't have any other way. The question is, can I trust before I get desperate? Can I trust when I can afford to be trustful? Yeah, I saw a very powerful person recently in a very not powerful position. I had to visit them in a hospital, and this person, outwardly extremely powerful. I mean, they can move mountains and they can get things done. They always tell me, and I've seen it. And I looked at them and they said, "What are you looking at?" I said, "I'm looking at the fact that we've been talking about this for so long, trusting. And now, when you have no power to move even your hand and do your basic needs, I can feel that you're trusting of life." And they said, "Absolutely. I could have done it 20 years ago, but I didn't. And now that I am in a position in a hospital, desperate, my basic needs are in the hands of professionals. I can't go to the bathroom without their help. I cannot put one bite in my mouth without their help. Now I'm trusting." He said, "So what is that?" I said, "I tell you what it is. What it is the question is, when will I wake up? Sometimes it's with a whisper. Sometimes it's with an invitation. Sometimes it's with a hit on the face. And sometimes we need to be completely knocked down to the floor in order for us to say, 'Okay, got it. Thank you.' And it's not a punishment and it's not an admonishment and nobody's taking revenge of you. It is your higher self saying, 'Please, please wake up and trust.' So the choice is ours. Do I want to wake up at whisper? Do I want to wake up at the on the floor where I can't even go to the bathroom without the help of others? Choice is ours. Choose. And there's no bad or good. There is no bad. I can't even vouch for, like, listen to the whisper. No, maybe we need that. Maybe we need a harsher wake-up call. The question is, can I do it now? Starting with very small things, trusting and allowing things to happen the way they can happen in an unlimited way. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Should we take a 5-minute break? I know Leila has a question. Break or no break? Okay, let's go. Leila, go ahead.
Hello, everyone, and happy Mother's Day. Great session as always. Very needed this session today for Mother's Day, especially. I felt so good when I was in the imagination world. I wanted to say, please continue. I'm having fun here. But I said, I have a choice. Bring what I can bring from this fun to the real life. It's like a game. How can I be smart in this? Bring a gift for myself for today. And it was very hard, but I brought forgiveness. And for a case that you know the person in your family who know you're upset about what they've done, but they don't care. They don't, even though you would say, let's talk about it, let's get together and talk about it. And you know that the person knows, but not willing to change, not willing to solve. And you get to the point that, okay, I cannot eliminate that person in your life. And the person's choice is not wanting to improve any real things in their relationship. I cannot force them, right? So what can I do? Because I'm going to see every day or random day in my life anyhow. So I said, you have a choice to let your feeling to be free, and that is forgiveness. That makes me to feel lighter. I cannot do any. I cannot change the person to bring effort to the relationship. It's their life, it's their journey. But I have a choice to bring that lightness in me with forgiveness and enjoying my life, kind of like I'm like acting as an actor. I don't know how long that how this last will last long, but I'll try. I'll try. And as far as the word trust, Christine, as a parent, especially when I talk to my friends, when they say, "Oh my God, I can't trust my son. I don't trust my th because if I wouldn't tell them now, they're gonna get a drug addict. They're gonna get, they go to the end worst scenario that they're gonna do this, they're gonna do that. They cannot stand for themselves, and I know they're gonna get addicted if I do or don't do this, and that." Fear that makes them to not trust them is where they start. They see the worst scenario is possible, and no pat none of us wanted to witness that. And we think, okay, we have to control it as of now by discipline them, by give tell them what to do, not to do. But it's very hard to s find a line in a way. I would say to give the trust. I would say more than trust is more than how we cannot get fear of the things that might happen in our kids' life.
Yeah.
That's the initiation. Thank you.
Sure. So let me address the first part of what you said, and that you said that in a way, acting. I want you to know we're always acting. These are characters. I want you to understand that right now I'm acting. It's a character I built. So we are always acting. The dramatic roles. Oh my God. That's acting. It's unwilling and unaware acting, but we are all acting. Right now, I'm acting as a teacher. That's what I'm doing. When today I go to this place, I'm acting as a friend and I'm acting as a daughter. We are always acting. Here's the question: am I acting with awareness? Because I always say there are these characters within us. We always talk about them. Characters are acting characters. The job of this character is to be the, exaggerator. There's a character who lives in me. Oh, ooh, you did this and my life changed because you didn't come on time. She does that. And then there is the kind character, again, acting. Oh, how can I help you? That's another character. So if I am always acting because I am, then can I choose to act in the best of my interest and growth and happiness? The character, the one, the Christine's mother character that is like exaggerated helicopter, like landing on the daughter's life. It's a character. She's built it and she's addicted to it. She has completely made it up. I can tell you where it may have come from, but doesn't matter. It's a made-up character. Tomorrow, not tomorrow, right now, after this session, she can decide, me act as a different character for 1 week and see what happens just for the fun of it. We're playing. Just act as a very balanced mother. And see what happens. When my daughter says, oh, I forgot this and I can't do this this tomorrow, I say, you know, honey, I trust that you will find your way. You're such a smart individual. How can I help you? Is there anything I can do? The child says, what? What did you do with my mother? What happened to the mother that takes over and faxes things and sends things and delivers things and arranges things? What happened to her? Like, oh, that character, we fired her. We said, why don't you just take a month off and see what happens? It's a character. So, my dear Leila, you are always acting.
But when they say you're acting, you're fake, it's you don't act like a kind person, don't act like this, because you would see it's obviously it's fake and it's not coming from your heart. But at the same time, they say fake it until you make it, and the brain, and they say meaning in a word of brain, they say as long as you keep faking it, you're gonna make it to that personality. Even
Yes.
you're acting it as a fake, obviously you're not kind, you're not a calm person, you just act like it, just act like it, and neuroplasticity will help you to become like that. That's what the brain
That's
science
the
says.
scientific way of saying it.
Yes.
I'm no scientist. I'm telling you when I intend, when I'm intend, intention, I intend to be kind. And when I go with that intention, when my intention and my attention are on the same road, then that will allow me to act. So it's intention, attention, action. When my intention and attention work together, my action eventually will go there. However, you are also saying if my action works with my intention, my attention eventually goes there. These three characters, these three elements can be worked with at any level. I can intend and act. I can act and attend. I can attend and intend. They work together. So there is science for it. I don't know, but I'm saying, energetically speaking, that always works because there is power in that. So that's as far as acting is concerned. And as far as the imagination that you were talking about and the gift that you brought is concerned, I want to tell you that you forgive for you, not forgive for them. And when we start the process of forgiveness, we're saying that I'm taking charge. We're not doing this to change anybody's reaction or relationship with us. We're doing this because we want to change the way we experience things. But having said that, you're saying, how about, then you brought the third aspect in. What about how involved I should be? Should I just let my children be free and not understand there's life and there's problems? I'm saying, no, understand what's going on, do your best, trust the rest. That's been my statement for decades. Do your best. Of course, I'll be careful if I know I'm going somewhere that there is danger. I'm not going to be silly about it or not protect my child when I know there is drug and addiction happening at school. However, when I take my attention and on doing my best instead of worrying about things, then I become quite powerful and present to what I can do. I do my best. And there is a place that I have to say, can't sit with my child in school, can't follow my mother to all the things she does, can't go with my friend to every session that she has with other people. So as a result, I'm going to just do my best and trust. What do I trust? Trust that they will know, trust that there is a higher power, trust that they also have a journey that they have determined. And if they want to be experimenting with drugs, they will do that no matter what I do. That's the beauty of life. You can do whatever you want, you still will experience what your higher self has determined and wanted you to do. It's very simple. It's you can do whatever you want, but it happens the way it needs to happen. So, but you still have a responsibility. You do your best. Of course, you do your best. Anyways, I think we're not going to
Thank you.
have a break today. Is that okay, Nikki? Nikki usually is my break.
You
By
know,
the way.
we haven't been having breaks during these sessions. That's what's
Okay.
interesting. So I just figured we'd just keep going.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you.
It's the
Yeah,
other
that was the
one.
UCLA class. You're right. I'm mixing them up. Yeah, you're right. I want to say something before I ask Carlota to speak, and that is that we always talk about Mother's Day for children. And I want to tell you that everybody is a mother. We are all mothers to ourselves. And I want to wish that aspect of your motherhood a happy Mother's Day, meaning the mother that lives within us, that mothers us or doesn't mother us. So I hope that you connect to your inner mother, and I hope that you allow that mother to be kind to you, no matter whether you have children or not, or they live with you or not, or your mother is alive or not. That is irrelevant because there is a mother within all of us. male or female, masculine or feminine. It is a mother that lives with us. But when that mother becomes a bit disciplinarian, then we don't stay kind to ourselves. So pay attention to that compassionate mother who potentially lives in you. All right, I said my piece. Carlota, go ahead. Unmute.
Hello,
Hi.
can you hear me?
We can hear you. Yeah.
Perfect. Sorry, I don't put the camera. I'm driving now. It was my turn to drive. So, yeah, hearing all just came to my mind. I think that you say always Mitra that words are spells, and something I was talking with a friend recently that we were talking about our experiences with our mothers when we were teenagers, and how I've heard other moms talking about their daughters, like, oh, my is such a bad teenager. She's so irresponsible. She does this and that. And then my mom always talked good about me. She was like, oh, she's so good. She's so responsible. She's great. I mean, she has her things. So I think it built a sense of identity also on me. It was like a spell from my mom towards me. So when my friends or people were doing certain things, not going into details, I would go like, do I really want to do that? I'm a good teenager. And I also was thinking what was in fact best for me. It's like, this is not good for me at the end of the day. I'm just maybe doing it to belong, but I belong anyway, so I don't do it. And I can see, yeah, how this relates also to what you were just saying, like how now being an adult and doing all this process of remothering myself, there is so much also about this spell on myself that I put out in the world. Like how I remother myself is like giving me a chance to believe and imagine things that I wouldn't. And how these words that we put out are really spells in our life, and that they have a weight, and it goes all into the trust that you were talking. Like my mom was trusting me, so I trust myself.
Yes. And it's very interesting that your mother always says good things about you. How does that feel to you? How has that influenced
Oh,
you
well,
being a mother?
I have to say she had a lot of bad things to say also, but not outward, like not about how I behave in the world. More like, oh, you could, I don't know, clean the dishes better or do your room, but not me out in the world. Like she had a trust in me going and relating to others, going through experiences myself and traveling by my own when I was 17. You know, like they trust that part. Like, of course, they had many bad things to say about me, and I've learned from them. But from in the world, they were really trusting. Yeah.
Yeah, great. And it makes a difference. And also it shows the character that you had when you were a child. You know, that's really interesting. It's indicative of our essence as a person. I know every time that Henry asks my mom about my childhood, the one message that she always gives is like, Mitra was not manageable at all. She knew exactly what she was. It's the first thing. I mean, she says it in different ways, but it's like you could not tell her what to do, could not change her mind. And in a way, it actually freed my mother. I know the way my mom mothered me was very different than the way she mothered my siblings. It was far more hands-on, far more, I want to use the controlling word, but with me, I think she was smart enough, which is very important, that even though I'm sure she wanted to, she realized this child I do not need to do much with because I can't, basically. So, yeah, I mean, we always laugh about it, but it's also very interesting that as a mother determines how to be with each child.
Yeah.
You know, they know what I know. I'm very different with my two children because this one has this characteristic and these restrictions, and this one is the other way. So we change even as mothers when we mother different individuals. Very fascinating.
Yes, it's funny because my mom, now that I have a daughter, and my daughter, from her words, is same as you were. Like, she's like, you're getting the med you're getting your same medicine, kind of, because Saul
Yeah.
is very independent too, and things. And I'm laughing because it's something I adore from her. So I think we
Yeah.
go one step, like I think she really like it, but it was more an internal thing from how she was raised, because she's
Yes.
exactly like me too. She's a very independent woman, but she was raised in another generation and she had to pay a high price for it. And then she made me pay half price for it, and then I'm making pay no price to small, kind of.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's called progression. She paid full price, you paid half price, your daughter is paying no price. Wow. May it continue that way. Thank you. Thank you
Yeah,
for that
thank
share.
you.
Drive safely. Carlota is driving from
Thank you.
Paris to Spain, on a one of these, what do you call it? Motor homes? Yeah.
Motorhome.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was,
Yeah, drive safely.
by the way, little story. Like, this motorhome was bought when I was 12-year-old in 93. It belonged to my house, to my parents. I've traveled here for all my life with them and my family. And then in one point they wanted to sell it, and I said, no way, I'm buying it. Just put it on the market. When you have a price, I buy it. So now I'm traveling with my family.
Wow, that's
And
interesting.
it's what I call home, because I live in 40 something homes. So this is my, longest home
Constant home.
ever.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great. Great. Have fun. Thank
Thank
you. All right. Let's see who else wants to speak or ask or share. Go ahead.
My mom and sister, no, my sister and I apparently bothered our mom a lot when we were younger. And my mom always used to say, "I hope your kids do to you what you did to me."
And did they?
Yeah.
Okay, so justice is done now.
Process is done.
Justice is done. Yeah, we come to learn. We come to learn. That's true. Is your mom happy that justice is done?
No.
No.
Probably not, but I
See?
think it's evolving, so
Yeah.
it's part of our growth, I think.
Yes. Yes.
We
Evolve.
all go through it.
I like that. Yes. We're all evolving. And when mothers become grandmothers, we're only talking about mothers today because today's Mother's Day. They evolve. That's why in Persian we say that the grandmother mothers always love the grandchildren because they're the enemy of their enemy. So, I mean, it's a joke, but it also is indicative of the pressure and opportunity that exists when we want to grow. I bet you when our wonderful Christine becomes a grandmother, she will probably have far more balanced approach to her relationship with them. But, you know, because it's a different position, you're not as hands-on and you can be more sort of expansive in your relationship with your grandchildren. That's why grandparents usually do better than when they were parents, because now they're not in survival mode. They see their choice. Do you see how interesting it is? They are making decisions as attentionists, and if they're really evolved, as eternalist. The question is, can I, as a parent, be in attentionist mode when I am parenting, either parenting my child or parenting myself? So we're in survival mode, we just are only thinking about things that can go wrong, fear, bad things I have to control. But in attentionist mode, I can command and I have a choice. Remember, we talked about how We have a choice in the different dimension, in the choice in the attentionist dimension. That's when there is paradox, meaning I was not doing it well, and oh, on this breath, I'm going to be different. So what was correct and right and applied a minute ago can be changed next minute. So that allows me to have a choice. Paradox, choice, diversity, creativity, and thoughts that can be very, very different. So thank
And
you.
going back, thank you. Going back to what Kristen has said is what you said what resonated with me. When my kids were younger, I have three boys. At the time, I only had two. They were, I don't know, 7 and 9, and they wouldn't wake up in the morning to go to school. I would do anything you can imagine to wake them up. I even threw cold water at them to get them out of bed. And one day I decided, well, this isn't working. And so I got ready in the morning and sat downstairs in the kitchen waiting for them to wake up. First 2 days, they were surprised. Why didn't you wake us up? Mom, we're late. Why didn't you wake us up? I said, you know what? You have your phones. You can set your own alarms and wake up when you're ready. It took 2 days. Day three, they were downstairs waiting for me. And as of that day, I stopped waking them up. So they learn. So they do it. The more you do, the less they'll do. And that's in any relationship with adults too, with your spouses, with your children, with your family, with your friends. The more you do, the less they'll do.
Thank you. It's the same formula. If I'm holding, you cannot be holding. You were taking responsibility, so they were sleeping. But if I know nobody's going to wake me up, eventually I have to do something about it.
Yes.
Thank you. That was a great reminder for other mothers in the room. Thank you. Let's see.
I also say something
Of course.
again? So my mom was always telling me, I trust you. Whatever I did, she would tell me, I don't know what happens when you do go where, whatever you do, but I trust you, you'll do the best out of it. You make the best out of it, and I will trust you, you make the right decision. In in her way, the very clear word was that I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. And now that we are going back to mothering ourselves, I'm gonna go to my. I just went to myself and I said, I trust you. So with whatever I want to do, I'm gonna trust me. Yeah,
That's exactly what you need. You know that.
exactly. Yes. And I just made that realization that I'm gonna tell myself that I trust myself the exact way that my mom trusted me.
Wow.
So
Wow.
I just got that. But very good. Thank you. This is amazing. Have a
Good
beautiful
gift.
Mother's Day. Yes.
Yeah, good gift for the Mother's Day. Can I trust myself? Yeah, that's a very good one. Thank
Thank you. Thank you for shifting me to that again.
I don't
Thank
think I shifted you. I wish I could. If I could, if I was a shifter, I would shift
Well,
everybody.
you did with the great meditation earlier and the conversation, and then now this trusting thing. It's
Yes.
great.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. I saw that somebody had written in the chat 20-80. That's my favorite proportion. I use it all the time. Thank you for that reminder. And that's exactly what we can use as a point of reference. So when somebody is a child, I don't know, when I'm 5, I probably need 80% direction and assistance and only 20%. But if I am 17 and I'm still being treated 80-20, meaning 80% of decisions, worrying, planning, waking up, as Ilham said, is done by another person, at best, I'll take only 20%. So the question is, what is the percentage of responsibility that it is healthy for me to take at this stage of my child's life. And if I'm doing 80-20 at 3, that's fantastic. But if at 13, I'm doing still 80-20, that's not fantastic. And if at 30, I'm still doing 80-20, it's really unhealthy. So it's that proportion reminded me of, because mine needs numbers, and sometimes it's good to use numbers and percentages so that we can understand better and act better. Thank you. Oh, Leila, did you raise your hand again?
Yes, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Continue Mina's words. The trust, the same thing for me. My mom, I was a child that my mom always trusted me the most. But that brought me lots of responsibility. And in fact, that was very heavy. As far as when she says like, yes, you can, I trust Leila, she knows every, so I feel like I have to keep this trust. So I have to keep this approval. So I have to do extra work. And I became very hard on myself. Even today, that trust, it became from survivalist more than attention aside, that I have to keep that approval to myself. I have to make sure I can do it because I can do it. And that over expectation, it burnt me out inside. And I get to the point to say myself, there is nothing to prove. You don't need to prove anything to yourself anymore. You did enough. No, don't worry about the trust anymore. You don't like, and I want to let you to continue the difference between when we have this side of the trust, and when you say that to yourself and your mom tell you, you want to keep that trust, and that can overwhelm you if you're not in the attention is why. I'm going to let you to continue.
So trust in fear brings burden and over responsibility. Trust in love brings freedom and independence. So it depends on where trust was interpreted or where it was given. It could be that. I'm not saying that your mother was perfect, but I'm saying sometimes because the child is in fear, that trust gets interpreted. So here's the liberating part of this, that even though trust may have been given to me in the energy of fear, if I receive it in non-fear state, I can use it in a different way. Do you understand? This is really important. I may say, oh, I trust you, Leila. What I mean is, please take some of the responsibility that belongs to me, the adult, in the room, and you take care of it. I may, it's possible, especially with single parents, that happens often. But you, as a receiver, now that you're an adult, of course, when you were younger, it was difficult. But right now, you are doing exactly what I'm suggesting, that as an adult, I receive that from the perspective of love, which means, and non-fear, which means I have a compass, I'm an independent, and I have a lot of powers. It doesn't mean that I won't make mistakes. It means that my intention is to learn and help and do things right. However, sometimes they don't go right because I'm a human being. So my interpretation of I trust you is very important. Don't take it in the fear state, even if it may have been given to you in the fear state, that means that I have to do everything for everybody, never make a mistake, and be on top of everything all the time. That's the fear-based acceptance of you're good, you know, I trust you. I trust you means I trust that you will eventually find your way. And there's a eventually. Eventually. I trust everybody in that way, believe it or not. Even the most lost one of us will find their way. Except the only difference is there will be far more suffering before they find their way. That's the only difference between a person that is awakened and a person that is not awakened. That's it. That the awakened person, it was just like there's a line, I go straight there. And when I'm lost, when I'm not awakened, I will go and zigzag and get lost and get all muddy and I'm tired and I'm crying and there is a lot of drama. And then I come back to the, you know, the line that would have been straight, and then I find my way. That's all it means. I trust that you find your way. And that's a message we give ourselves and our children, because when we translate trust in the state of fear, is just too difficult to achieve. Okay, I do it on one thing. I can make an egg without a mistake, but can I lead my life without any mistakes? No, I'm learning. I'm sorry. Every day I'm learning. So yeah, interpret it in a state of non-fear and allow it to help you and give you power, as opposed to take your powers away.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great questions today. Yeah.
Me again.
Hello, again.
Now, as a mother, when I trust, and I could see that in my mom also, that I trust, the trust was freedom to me, not fear, but freedom. Yes. And then as a mother, and I know, again, I feel that with my mom, it gave me a, how do I say it? It gave me a freedom to do my stuff too. So if I was going to be, if I went out and my mom was worried and she was shaking like this till I come back home, in the situation that we were in Iran, you know, I had to deal with all these revolutionary guards and very bad situation. If she had to stay home and be worried about me, her life would be also paralyzed. She wouldn't be able to do anything to herself and maybe attend to the rest of the family just because I was out and I had to experience stuff. And she wouldn't want me to go. And I would go, and she would be worried the whole time. And that would distract her from her own life, whatever she had to do. So that freedom or trust is two-way. She has the trust in me, and then she can do whatever she has to do and trust herself to do the rest of the thing. So it's a two-way street, I think.
Absolutely. Well put. Yes. Because then it tangles the mother. It's not just the child. And that's why a lot of people are in a very entangled relationship with their parents, especially their mothers, because that cord has never been, in a healthy way, caught, that you are a human being. I am a human being, independent. Okay, I was the tool for you to come to this world, but that's all it was. And in this entanglement, one is influencing the other one in a very negative way all the time. So it's freedom that brings a healthy relationship. In freedom, we truly love, because in fear, we want to control. In freedom, we love and we liberate each other from us. So, very good.
And then that would bring the dynamic, change the dynamic of the family too. Because then when a mother pays attention and is worried about one child in a little bit different, and they see it, so they put us under microscope. Oh, she pays more attention to that sibling. Oh, what about me? That brings jealousy. And then whatever we do, that it would be not right. Because so the whole thing, the motherhood breaks when we do that, not trust and pay attention to one part of one child only.
So. Exactly. It brings imbalance.
Yes.
It's very simple.
To the
it
family.
Brings imbalance.
To the whole family. Yes.
The whole family. Yes. Brings imbalance to the child, imbalance to the parent, and imbalance to the whole family, because all these dynamics are all interrelated. So, and also the between the relationship of the parents themselves.
Yes.
Because I've been facing and working with people who are talking about this is too much attention to the child, that it's my child too, but it's just too much. This is just There's no room for anything else to take place. Anything that is out of whack influences the whole world, actually, not just our family and immediate people around us. We are contributing to the imbalance of the world instead of the balance of the world. So, yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Nikki and Christine haven't contributed. Do you want to, or do you want me to go to? Yes, Carlota. There you go. You need an invitation.
I so, good morning. Hi everyone, happy Mother's Day. I've been more distracted than usual this morning, so I'm looking forward to the recording so I can pick up the things I missed. But what I heard, and you just reiterated, Mitra, was that if we're overdoing anything, then there's an imbalance. That seems obvious if we're overdoing something, but was really useful for me to hear. And then working on creating that sense of balance, if we're overdoing anything. And in the meditation, you guided us to imagine, and then reminded us to not go into our memories because we've never been to the place before. And in I don't know if it originated in Al-Anon, but I heard it there, where shame is the acronym is should have already mastered everything. And I can live in that because I sort of came up that way of like should just already know. And then like don't make a mistake because you should already know how to do it. And so the freedom and the excitement that is in imagining and remembering that we haven't yet been to where we're going. Yeah, just feels really exciting. So thank you.
You picked up on a very, very interesting point that I did invite you to go to somewhere because I know people usually go to, oh, when I was a kid, I was playing. The problem with that is then when I'm in my child world, then I remember, oh, and I fell and I broke my leg. And before I know it, I'm worried about that. What if my child falls? It's just we go to memories, and what we want to do is to really go to places we haven't been. No problem if you go back. I mean, there's also value in that. But imagination, as I defined it, if you remember in the course, was that it needs to be not available to our senses in the moment, and it needs to be new. That was the part that we had not heard before. And then it needs to be good for our well-being. So with those three criteria, then we will be truly imagining something that will be helpful to us. New, not available to our senses, and good for our well-being. Three things that are very important. And yes, over anything, as soon as the word overcomes, unless it's really needed. Let me give you an example. If a child has broken their leg or something is or have a fever, I understand that. But we're talking about everyday life. Anything you do over, and I've seen mothers that are too attentive to their children. I'm thinking, look, there is no room for the child to fall. And I literally said that. And then the mother said, so it's good for the child to fall? Is that what you're saying? I said, yes. I know you're going to beat me up now, but yes, it is good to fall. Yes, it is through falling. I mean, just look at the child, and you've seen this recently because your child just came out of that state. Have you ever seen a child try to stand up and then walk if they don't practice falling and then getting up? They will never walk. I wonder, where are we paralyzing our children not to get up and walk when we are over-focusing on them? It's just a very simple, vivid memory that we've seen it. They get up, they fall, and sometimes it's all boom when you think, oh, they just cracked their bum. But they didn't. What did was they cracked the code of growth. That's what gets cracked. And if we stop them, they will never ever learn that, hey, now there's a transfer of power and attention. Mom was 100%. Now it's 90%. We're going towards 80. Oh, I'm noticing as I'm growing older, this number is going down. And it should. Only should I use today. And it should. Because that's the healthy thing. Imagine, and believe me, I've seen this. Imagine me, grown up woman, I'm leaving and my mommy says, Mitra, it's going to be cold today. Have you taken this? And are you taking some water with yourself? Because you're going to be thirsty. I mean, symbolically and literally. And I'm thinking, okay, you're right. It's cold and I may get cold today, but let me learn exactly what Elham was saying. Let me learn. Can you, when Elham said, I sat in the kitchen and was ready waiting for my kids, that was the ultimate height of her motherhood, energetically speaking. Because sometimes love is to do, and sometimes love is not to do. We think love is all do. Let me call, let me remember, let me remember. It's like, no. Sometimes actually the highest love is, can I hold on to my horses and sit in the kitchen like Elham said she did and just wait and see if I can see my children evolve and one day say, I got to go to school. You know, I get into trouble. And mommy seems to be not active in that area anymore. And let me do it. That was the ultimate and height of her love as a mother. Long answer. You didn't even look for an answer, but I had to give it to you. Okay. I have a question. Are you complete, Christine? Good.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The three parts of imagination are, one, it needs to be not available to our senses. That's what imagination is. That I'm not sitting amongst trees, imagining trees. I'm sitting where there are no trees, imagining trees. It's not available to our senses. The second, this is healthy imagination, by the way, true imagination. The second part is that it needs to be new. I'm not repeating. I'm not in Hawaii thinking last year I was in Hawaii was good. No problem. You can do that. But that's not true imagination. True imagination is I'm making up a place I've never been to. It may resemble something like Hawaii, but it's not Hawaii. And then three, it needs to add to my well-being. Otherwise, it is called worrying. So I'm sitting here, what if I fall and I'm bleeding? Like, that's not imagination. That's called worrying. Imagination adds to my well-being. So not available to my senses, and then new and good for my well-being, contributing to my well-being. It actually makes me feel good and adds to my well-being. The other part of the question is talk more about to live in balance. Okay. First, I want you to just get curious about what balance means to you. That very curiosity is 50% of the answer to your question, whoever asked. I wonder what balance feels like, looks like in this situation. The fact that you even bring that into your awareness, you're halfway there. Because when I am in the state of overdoing, I'm not even paying attention to balance. The moment I say, I wonder what it feels like to be in balance about this. See, I just brought both my attention and my creativity to the other side. So that's one thing that you can do that costs you nothing and you don't need to know anything. Okay. The second thing you can do is ask yourself, when was I in balance? Do I remember when I was in balance? It doesn't need to pertain to that particular experience, but I felt in balance when, can you fill in that statement? I was in balance when. And then bring some souvenirs from that experience. Oh, when I was attentive, for instance, but I also was free. Ooh, what a combo. I was attentive and free, focused and free. So just ask yourself, when was I last in balance? And three, bring that memory into this and say, now, if I'm in balance, using this point of reference, what would I do differently? Now we're going into action. What would I do differently? So first was feeling, and this we end up. So intention, and then attention to an experience, and then action of what would I be doing differently? Which answer usually is nothing. I would just sit myself down and allow life to happen. But sometimes it may be something else, because balance, sometimes it is inactivity and I need activity. But most of the time is overactivity and I need less activity. On that note, we have gone 1 minute over time. Let's say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers within us and the mothers without us. And may you have balance and may you love yourself as the most healthy mother they've ever been. Happy Mother's Day. Bye-bye.
Bye all.
Bye,
thank
everybody.
You. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day. Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day too.